Greetings, hello, and welcome to the Beyond Earth Show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you all of you for joining me on this day's transmission. It is June 13th, year 2026, and I hope all of you are having a most wonderful beginning of your summer. And today's themes, I'm going to speak a little bit about the alignment and the super new moon tomorrow. And just in general, the energetic strands that are pervasive around us in our lives and also in the couplings of how we are involved with other individuals in our lives, soul family, soul contracts, including animals and the nature kingdom, of course, and also in the spiritual realm in which we commune with our guardian angels and the maybe let's say the cosmic frequency that we can feel at times. And of course, the love of God, the love of our Heavenly Father for us, all in this random universe that at the same time is not random. So if you've noticed, or if you are familiar with in the last few days, the alignment of Venus, Mercury, and also Jupiter right now. And there are some, you know, that say that you can see Mars and there's a five alignment, a five planetary alignment. But what's most distinctive is that Jupiter and Venus right now can be seen with the naked eye. And I was fortunate enough to take some amazing photographs just about 2 evenings ago in which I was able to capture the alignment just perfectly. And I took many versions of it, but it was astonishing to just be able to behold that with just a normal camera, like a normal camera and then a normal iPhone camera as well. So in regards to that, one may ask, okay, well, what does that contribute to my life? What emphasis, you know, where is the study? How is this impactful in one's life? And so we can look at, you know, how it's affecting you on a zodiac level or on a personal level, or take away the zodiac in general and just look at it in overall collectiveness. And when you look at the uniqueness that it is a rare planetary conjunction, and, you know, we have the Venus, Jupiter, Mercury, and it's called the Planet Parade. And so when I saw it about a couple evenings ago, it's supposed to go on until the 15th, which is going to be after the super new moon in Gemini. And some of it will be very positive. Many of you may be feeling some kind of career growth. I've been witnessing that with people that I help, that there's been some sort of lull that was occurring. And when I speak in this fashion, it's on a collective scale where it's not just one person, it's like several that in an ongoing repertoire of their life and what's been integral for them, what's been on the interior, right? And what has been maybe a line of causation for perhaps anxiety, for perhaps needing to have sustenance and courage and inner wisdom, expansion to grow and to believe in oneself that, yes, I'm at a threshold, I'm at a crossroad with my job, my career space, my money space, or my relationship space, or in the undercurrent of a diagnosis and prognosis with a health concern. So those are the collective themes that I've been witnessing and recently. And it's just so happened to be matter of fact that right there at the conjunct that there's been a breakthrough that I've noticed. So it's like in a collective. So it makes sense in my view about the, you know, the boost of a breakthrough and clarity in the financial realm of one's life. And then also in a relationship realm where some toxic relationships, some very fruitful and beneficial mutually reciprocal relationships, that there has been somewhat of a home stretch to entail that initial outcome of like, okay, this is where we're really at. So we're having clarity in the romantic life, a clarity in the partnership life, clarity in perhaps in the business career, and also with health. So when we speak about this conjunction, and throughout time, the ancient sages and the three wise men looking upon the northern star to look for how to get to Jesus, right? And so we have the ancient astronomy worldview in which our ancestors looked upon the stars for all of the visions, because that's under God's cathedral of creation in the celestial kingdom. Everything above is under God's creation. And so we as humans interpret it in our own way that is respective to our belief, respective to what we might ascertain, what we might hypothesize for ourselves, or what we know to be our own truth and fact. And then if we go into scientifically, of course, we look at the realms of, well, there is by no doubt that that conjunction is literally appearing so close, right? And so it's not often that we can merge both realms together in the normal casual thought process of it. But if we actually go deeper, we see how much the reality, the convergence of science, metaphysical spirituality, and God, and the creation of all actually makes more sense than not make sense. Because under one beautiful, great cathedral canopy of the celestial vastness, we are here. We are having our own lived experience, our own lived reality. And we are encompassing that. And we are also merging with other alignments that are concurrently going on around us, and it's pervasive throughout, and it's interwoven. So if we think about our own life and in our interior life and what we externalize, we have our own, I'd say, where we have our own alignments, right? If we look at our chakras, if we look at our bodies anatomically, if we look at our, our blood, our white blood cells, our red blood cells, we look at the equilibrium in our brain, the hemisync, the left hemisphere, the right hemisphere. There's always a balance to be sought. There's always a balance. Some of us are left-handed, some of us are right-handed, and there's a balance there. And so we have our own, let's say, rotation within ourself, a rotation within our intellectual life, our emotional, our psycho-spiritual, our spiritual, our devotional life. And when we see what's the contrast, what is in peril maybe in our life, where are we suffering, and what is causing that suffering, what is the line of causation that is positing that suffrage? If we were to say, what would bring the most joy in our life? What would reduce the most suffering, right? How could we go about our Father's business? Where should we go? How should we go about doing it? And does it concur with the will of God or the universe, our highest self, however it is that you believe? But at the end of the day, what is consistent for oneself? And so when we have these alignments, when we have these conjunctions, when we have these planetary aspects that do occur in our life that we can really review for consideration with how they're applicable, then we have a more broader realm to draw from and to distinctly express, well, perhaps this is what's going on. And perhaps this is where I'm feeling a shift, I'm feeling a change. And if we go to, the naming of the planets, we go to the eyewitness of being able to see with our own naked eye, like, wow, it's just right there. It's so beautiful. It's this prismatic alignment right in front of our very naked eyes, right? Not needing, a fabulous telescope to see it, but to see it in that way. I feel that that's God's way of showing us, like, okay, there's some changes looking to the sky. There's some changes look within. look at the place of perhaps, the communication with ourself. Are we speaking enough devotional with ourselves, with our communion, with spirit, with God, with the universe, with our guardian angels? Are we really stepping in and honoring our self-worth, our sacredness? And so if we look at, let's say, Venus, again, let's just talk about Venus for a moment. Venus essentially is known as, love, beauty, relationships. And if we, we see how Venus and Aphrodite, if we think of Botticelli, how Venus in the half shell, and we see that in the essence of the goddess, right? We see that in the love, and there's the harmony. But if we focus on, wow, is that like an expression, interpretation of love unto all of us as a reminder of that love is the supernatural power in all realms of love. With when you hear the word love, there's a sacredness in love. There's an innocence in love, and there's a purity in love. But on the contrary, just like everything has a shadow aspect, right? Is there the danger of love, the danger of not loving, the danger of loving too much excessively? Or, and one could say, well, we can never love too much, but then we can go into the deeper subcategorical text of that. What if love is not requited? Or what if love is so intense that it is blind and then thereby coddles someone who is like perhaps a difficult child that just gets away with everything because of that unconditional coddling instead of some discipline. So we can see all the sides, right? But I'm speaking of in the metaphorical and in the emotional realm of the positive aspects of love. And so it's a reminder of that energetic strand of love ourselves, love others, and love ourselves the way God loves us. And so sometimes we feel unlovable. Sometimes we feel like, wow, well, I'm so unlovable, or I'm feeling unlovable. And perhaps your neighbor might say, nonsense, you're so lovable. But it's really hard to convince the psyche at times, right? It's hard to allow the self to receive that self-affirmation of I am lovable, I am worthy. So when we speak to this, this is very important for the self-dialogue, because we have, our body stores somatically the molecules of emotion, in which if we go back to, let's just talk about Dr. Masaru Emoto with the secret language of water. That's a really good example of how water stores the emotional molecules. So if you sing Ave Maria, if you play, Vivaldi, if you play beautiful music, or if you speak positively to that water, it will mirror and reflect the energetic concurrence and that vibrational aspect of it's feeling a sincere love. And there has to be a sincerity with it. Like, I love myself. I love you. How many times do we look in the mirror and say, I love you in the mirror, right? And so if any of you follow Louise L. Hay, mirror work, that's a huge proponent of self-care, self-love. And it goes also to, you are what you think. You become what you think. And if you think you can, you can. But if you think you're right, you're right. If you think you're wrong, you're wrong. If you think you're wrong, then you're wrong. If you think you're right, and then you are as right as you are wrong, or you're as right as you think you are right. So if you feel like you're unlovable, okay, then you're right. And one can say, well, you're wrong, but then you'll think they're wrong. So there's this whole inverted reality that feels very Twilight Zone in the psyche, where it's like, wow, where do we go to the drawing board? And I know that that's not so simple, but when you actually take a moment to say, I love myself, and you look in the mirror and you say, I love you in the mirror, reflecting backward to you, are you right or are you wrong? And even if you're feeling like, oh, I'm faking it until I make it, I'm wrong, I'm not right, because I'm forcing myself, but sometimes, though, with repetition, with wisdom, there is an automatic response to that conscious reconditioning. So, in the conscious reconditioning, when you're expressing, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself, it becomes a pattern. And thereby, it becomes more of like an imprint for the self. So, when you look in the mirror and you say, I love you, I love you. And sometimes people cry, they burst into tears, they can't do it. Sometimes they want to shatter that mirror. Sometimes they just want to break everything around them. And then eventually they get to a point where they're actually able to say it. And for some, you might say, oh, well, it's easy. I just stand in front of the mirror and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But I'm speaking in the conscientious intent with intentionality. Like when we pray, those of you that pray, we know that when we pray, we have total intentionality. We are focused. We are in clarity. We are in a deep meditative state of prayer, and our prayer is being exacted. We are dialoguing it out with God. We are dialoguing out with our guardian angels, with the saints, right? We are dialoguing it out with the Holy Spirit. So, much like with the meditation, and when we go to sports, if we look at how we visualize with sports, how we are completely consciously reconditioning. We're going to focus and we're going to catch the ball, or we're going to dive off that platform, or we're going to, execute that with precision, whatever it may be. And you visualize that there's intentionality. And that's part of manifestation, that's part of focusing. So, with this alignment right now that is going on, this is a huge time for focus, intentionality, and also, especially for, again, manifestation, because when you have this blend, this conjunct in of, Venus, and then we have Jupiter, which is the expansiveness that's a karmic planet. Yes, Saturn's also a karmic planet. We might say that all of them are karmic in their own way, but Jupiter is a benevolent, expansive planet. And Jupiter is truly in, whenever Jupiter is way high, exalted up, there's much to do with karmic retribution and patterns, let's say. And so when you have Venus and then Jupiter, that is also with, there's the expansiveness with prosperity, with love also, and fortune. And so we have career, health, and relationships. Then we have Mercury, and Mercury literally is at times friends of Venus. However, Venus and Mercury, at times when they're together and in tandem with one another, the intellectual de decision making, being concrete, deciding on, where am I going to go? What should I be praying for next? What should I be focusing on next? And so when you go into actual communication, communication with yourself, communication with God, communication with the universe, with the cosmic kingdom, you go deep within, as you always should. However, we always should, but we're humans. And sometimes we don't always get to do that because we can forget. Sometimes we might have discipline and strengths and many things, and then sometimes we forget. We might be praying for everyone else, but not praying for ourselves in one aspect, right? So we might be disciplined with, like, we're praying for our family, we're praying for our animals, we're praying for the world, we're praying for, the neighbor that's in the wheelchair or the homeless person. But we might fail to think, wait a second, what am I feeling with myself right now? Am I watering my own tree? Am I getting enough sunlight? Am I getting enough, root and seed germination? Am I getting enough? And so this is where, in this trine, this energetic convergence, it entails harmony. And if you look at the intellectual side of Mercury, and you look at also the wisdom of Jupiter and the emotional intelligence, the emotional awareness, we go into a deeper plane of, okay, I need to draw this in for myself so I can actually recharge my batteries, because I give to my family, I give to my children, I give to my students, I give to the class, I give to the world, I give to the church, I give to the homeless shelter I work for, the volunteer, I give to those animals, I give to the world, whatever it might be. Or, where is it being siphoned? Perhaps where is your energy being siphoned? So you look at literally an awareness through this transit. So if you look through things in the cosmic realm, like a cosmic window into your own heart, a cosmic window into your own intellect, and that window into your interior life, you take a pause and you feel, how can I align myself and balance out my own frequency? And so, I will say though that right now there is a benefic quality to these particular conjunctions at this moment. But then I have some other news that are, going to be blended with the super new moon in Gemini. So it's all part of the celestial kingdom world show, right? So when we go into let's say we want to be generous, right? We are altruistic. We want to give. We want to pause it. We want to enhance the world of someone else, right? We're thinking externally to something outside of ourselves. But inadvertently, we are sustenance. We're in a sustenance of, okay, here's a purposeful feeling. I receive purpose by giving my neighbor 10 apples, and my neighbor is in gratitude, and I'm in gratitude that she received my apples. I'm happy that she'll be able to eat apples, right? So there's that on a very simple term. And then if my other neighbor needs lemons, I give him lemons. But then maybe one day he'll give me oranges, right? And then another time in the future, my neighbor that I give apples to, she's going to bring me nectarines. And then one day, my neighbor is going to bring me strawberries, and my other neighbor, he's going to bring me, let's say, almonds. I don't know. I'm just giving examples. So you see how the world works energetically, right? So whatever you give is what you get. So what you give is what you get. And Saint Francis of Assisi, it is through giving that we receive. So when we're giving, and it doesn't mean that we have to write a check for a gazillion dollars all the time, no, but it's the thought process. So if we're thinking positively about someone, if we see someone and we're praying for them, that's automatically a gift. It's giving to someone. If we see an animal, even if it's like a video, even if it's something from the past, if it's something that just fuels your heart, fuels your spirit, and you are quote unquote helpless because it's already passed and done, but it's the initial intention in your heart and your mind and your soul. And if it is something in lifetime where you actually can do something in any way, the contribution is with the intentionality behind it. So you might see people, yes, and they write a $1 million check and thank you very much for your contribution. But the intentionality, is it for a pure gift or is there something else behind that gift, right? It's, do they give it with happy love? And if it's given with happy love, then it's even more maximized. But if it's given with a protest, like, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to give this dollar away. I have $1 million, but I don't want to give this dollar away. I really just want to keep this dollar. Okay, well, the energy attachment to that dollar from that $1 million that the person has in excess, we're talking about, this is just a discussion on, we're not going in scarcity, like if someone can't afford, I'm just speaking about energy. So in the scarcity of when there is enough of something, and then it's a withholding, it's a almost like a hook that sustains and suspends the person in a moment, and then it's not received. The energy is not clear. The energy is not harmonious. The energy is not aligned in a benefic way. But let's say that somebody only has $10 and they have $1, or someone has $1 and that's all they have, but they're like, oh my goodness, no, I really want to give you my dollar. I really want to give you my apples. Let me just give you the shirt off my back. I have a million shirts at home. It's fine. But it's that eagerness, it's that optimism, it's that energy that's attached with the gift of even the compliment. So I'm not talking just about money and donating or material, but the energy of giving and the energy of intention. So it's like, wow, I really hope that that person has a great opportunity to start their life over. And that's coming from a free place. So there's no attachment to a lower frequency of, oh, I'm in my greed right now, or I'm in my selfishness, or I'm more superior than them. I don't want them to get a good job because I want to be the one with a better job, right? We deal with people that have that, and sometimes it's a pathological thing with them that sometimes they're not even fully aware that they're doing it. And then some are fully aware, and to each their own. But this is not about a judgment on anyone else. I'm not judging other people for being judgmental, but at the same time, I'm talking about the energetic flow of release and to let loose and give to God. Because when we give with our heart, when we think with our heart, when we think with that love, that's an expansion in itself. And so if we think, wow, I really hope that he does amazing on his interview, or I really hope that she gets what she really wants because she deserves it. And there's a fluidity there. There's a truth in that statement. There's a elevation. And in the mind, body, spirit convergence, what we externalize outwardly is that we are sending those energetic strands. We are amplifying through prayer, through intention, and through that, we receive the product of a culmination of positivity and altruism. And there's an unconditionality. So what happens is that when we do that automatically, then we never know what may happen for us later. Because guess what? You just didn't think about it twice. You just gave that homeless person your only dollar. You gave that neighbor your only bananas you had left, or you gave in a but whatever you had. Just saying, you're just thinking with the right action, right? You're just thinking of, okay, well, I'm just gonna be nice, and I'm fine. I'm fine, and this person needs some support. They need prayer. You wish the best, and then thereby magic unfolds for you at the right time in the right order. And that's, people may call that, of course, there's karma, there's the boomerang of that, there's the retribution of that. But when we look at Jupiter, though, and we look at the expansiveness, and we look at the generosity, because right now the focus is definitely on generosity. And I don't mean empty your wallet. No, I mean like, and look at with what's within, and look at how to enrich someone else with just your thoughts, with your heart, enriching someone with hope in humanity, right? But then you also will receive that in your own right action, because it is through giving that we receive, and that purposefulness, we thereby can feel it. It feels good to know that you could support someone through a very dark time. It feels good to know that you could support someone who needed a banana for the day and you gave them a banana. It feels good to know that you were able to be there at that time and that you're part of this vastness of caring and sharing and also in the constellations that are around us, right? So when we think about Mercury also, where we talk a lot about Mercury in retrograde and different things that are very common that everyone's aware of, but we look into clarity, and Mercury is ruled by Gemini, Gemini is ruled by Mercury, vice versa, right? But there's an auspiciousness with this particular time because not only do we have Venus and Jupiter in the karmic beneficness and a time to look within, a time to externalize what's within and so without, but also Mercury to essentially there's an extrapolation of thoughts and in the consolation prize. So like God gives us consolation prizes at times, right? So sometimes God will give us consolations and he'll give us and grant us and we'll have some prayers answered. But then sometimes perhaps we feel like there's a pause in the consolation prizes where, wow, where is God? Is he listening? Is he here? Because I'm not seeing any signs anymore. But that's actually a sign of that, wow, the trust, the faith is so unwavering that you know that you can move the mountain and that manifestation is there within you, but you don't need the consolation prize now to still maintain the faith or believe. And one might find that to be confusing, and I know that that might not always be received in the right way. But if you look deeper in the philosophical and the metaphysical and the psychological attributions of that statement, there's you can look at it in all views, but at the end of the day, it's like this confidence. It's like if you plant a seed, is the seed looking for signs that should I still grow? Can I still grow? Is it looking for the signs? And yes, God does give us signs. God in the universe does give us these universal signs that show in the material or in any way, through it be dream, through it be visions, through it be at times like, wow, what a random occurrence. It's not so random, right? What's random is not random. So, but there's going to be the times where it's like, be still and hold that confidence within. Knowing to externalize that. And so, if we see things as a measure, if we see things as a symbol, right? And if we go into the realm, and I was going to talk about a couple things, but maybe I'll wait another time. But if we look at something as a symbol, right? As a measure of a symbol of the power, the iconography, right? And we have sacred iconography everywhere we can look, right? If we look upon and we see within, but if we really truly go into the deeper realm and we go into the space of our own equilibrium, how we balance the field, we go into that intellectual space. And in that intellectual space, we look for further clarity. And we look for what lines up, what matches up. And again, alignments that are concurrent with this. So we go into, again, the keys to the kingdom. We go into our divine rightful inheritance. And so when I speak about the symbols, if we look at within and the consolation prizes at times that, wow, okay, I don't need that to prove to me to keep going because I believe in it inherently within myself. I know that God is leading, directing, guiding me without a shadow of a doubt. My faith is unwavering. Or perhaps you just have this confidence, like you have faith in yourself, where your faith in yourself is unwavering, where you know that you're going to do this no matter what you do, no matter what you say, you're going to do this and it's going to happen. And so, beholding that frequency, you have that type of, let's say, sometimes we can have a comic relief, a moment in which you are essentially in your own zone, and you are in your own place of humorous. You find humor in the self, and you're trying to come out of what you feel is like Yeah, Shakespeare said, you know, all the world is a stage and we're just merely players. Well, there's truth in that divine aspect. But if we look at ourselves and we have a sense of humor, but then we're also serious, sometimes that the breakaway can occur in which we are feeling more of a deeper sense of understanding for ourselves and where we're going and how we are living in the realm of our world and how we are conducting ourselves. How are we converging with the convergence, essentially? And so I just wanted to touch on that. And also, we have before tomorrow, it's going to be tomorrow, the super new moon in Gemini. Now, people, many of the experts are saying that, oh, be prepared, some little bit of chaos or some havoc can ensue. And so I'm very positive. I'm not in, I'm not saying that that's fear-mongering or anything, but I look at the truth in all things, right? So apparently there's going to be a lot of, let's say, explosiveness and perhaps emotionally, or perhaps because there's been so many breakthroughs that are happening that now it's kind of like the reality kicking in, let's say. But if I just want to say that if you are any of you experiencing that going forward, at, if there's a shakeup, or if or maybe it's a time for temperance, it's a time to just be. You know, if you're feeling like you really want to be brutally honest or direct with someone, make sure that your boundaries are that you're not going to regret it later. Because sometimes you want to stand up for yourself, sometimes you want to speak up your truth, and that's great. But sometimes people find themselves in retrospect, wow, I shouldn't have been so harsh. Now, how do I repair that? I shouldn't have been so hostile. How do I repair that? Or I was too brutally honest. But I guess it depends on what it might entail. But if you find yourself in that kind of experience, then you might question or wonder and say, think before you speak, think before you respond. You don't need to be in the combustion of impulsivity. And if it's not urgent, it can wait, right? If it's not something urgent of the emotional or intellectual, it can wait. And you don't have to respond right away. And that is the core essence, is that patience is a virtue. So focusing more so on the positives of these alignments and any type of whirlwind that can happen at any time and place, that when we're in that pre-shadow phase of Mercury going retrograde is essentially what's going to be happening. So it's all the things that have come in through the alignment and then coming full circle. So anyhow, I just wanted to share that. And while we're on that topic, maybe some of you have been feeling a little more the empathy, the scale of relativity to compassion, empathy. And sometimes, if there's a fatigue that comes from that, perhaps it's like the need for time out, for rest. If you're feeling that, if you're in a caregiver, caretaker role, or if your work is just very exhausting, or if your life has been exhausting in any way, it's okay to take a time out. It's okay to take a moment to recharge. It's totally okay. Just give yourself even 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you possibly can, because this might be a good time just to consider that. And also self-love, like we were talking about, is in the energetic principle of self-love, but also self-care, self-rest. And so there's nothing wrong with taking a moment to give self-care, give self-love. So, if you also look at, anything, if you're feeling like the weight of the world on you, if you're feeling the weight of the high frequency energies, and then you're feeling the harmony and the auspiciousness of these, alignments at the same time, is totally completely normal to feel like, okay, can I just retreat for a while? And there's nothing wrong with that. So, but if you feel like, wow, I feel this energetic pull that I'm really trying to release from someone or something, like an energetic cord, this could be precisely the right, correct time for you. Like, let's say that you have had someone in your life or something in your life or some sort of negative attachment, let's say, or something that's no longer a contributing factor to your overall benefic life, health, and the peace of your life, the harmony in your life. Well, if you have ever felt like you wanted to have a sign or an answer to, is it time for me to cut this cord? This is definitely a time to really re-review that. And one thing you can do is you can pray for, the positive attributes and the negative attributes. What about this is, this can be about a person, object, place, or thing, okay? But it could be about a decision also. And you can feel, how does this align with me? How does this align with my future reality? How is this going to benefit me? How is this going to take away and detract from me? Is this going to be worth my while? Is this going to be a regret I have later? And so, in that process, think about, are my healthy boundaries being exercised right now? What in my healthy boundaries are being exercised? How am I contributing? And how am I feeling balanced? Is this reciprocal? Is this one-sided? Is this a drain? Is this a vampiric drain? So this is a very good and healthy time to really review what is serving you, what is not serving you. And honestly, it's always a good time to do that. Honestly, it's always a good time to review what's good for you, who's good for you, what's not good for you, because life is life, and every moment of every second of the day, the common denominators will be there, but sometimes the relevant shifts can have their own internal, let's say the quadrants will kind of rearrange themselves, and you might find yourself, wow, I was so focused on the math of this, but now I'm focused on the reading aspect of it instead of just the arithmetic part, right? So sometimes you just have to sit with it and feel it out. And also, too, another theme before we close today is essentially about gratitude, sitting with the gratitude of the self, being in the gratitude of your own heart, and the gratitude for this life, the gratitude for those that we have around us, and even sometimes the gratitude for a negative experience that we learned from. And if we're alive today to speak about it, and even though some things are just completely, at times they feel unforgivable, unforgettable, right? But there's a ferventness that can arise within the self, dependent upon what it was, what it is that we've endured. But in the gratitude of today, the gratitude that we have life today, that whatever we went through, we got out of it alive, we survived, even if we may have lost so much, but even if we may have felt a disconnect, but we are in the realm of gratitude. And so when we're in that proper place and we think deeply on the gratitude, it's life-giving, life-affirming. The energetic balance of that gratitude feeds us. And then we are in that pattern of that, not always in the, we're not saying self-recognition, but self-awareness. So the self-awareness of gratitude, it does shine within. And if we're in the gratitude, especially the energy of that, it does magnetize even more of what is benefic to the self. So, if we do feel sometimes a bit hard on ourselves or a bit exhausted of things, and we go into, wow, I'm so grateful for, we write a list, a gratitude list. That gratitude list opens up many fields in the synapses of the brain. It opens up many fields in the cellular function of the heart and the body. And it also creates a magicness. So the magic essence of gratitude is essentially contagious. So what happens is that when you send out that automatic signal of I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that, more auspicious events start to naturally unfold. And so, have you ever tried that where it feels like it's a three-way mirror and you're like, oh, thank you, I'm so grateful for this. And then if we go into the other mirror and we say, oh, I admonish that and I detest that and I can't stand that. Well, when you yield the light, and light and gratitude are synonymous with one another. So there's a symbiotic energy with light and gratitude, right? But if we look at darkness and haste and angst, and also even with regret, if we look at that, self-depreciation, self-flogging, that also yields more dark. So if we think about more of the gratitude, then we yield more of that magnanimous, benefic love towards our direction. But if we're thinking more in that self-defeating, limiting belief and lower frequency, then of course we're going to yield and attract even more of that. So if we're looking in a three-way mirror, which mirror do you prefer to view and to yield more of? So, before. If we were to say, well, I don't have good luck. I don't have good luck. I don't have good luck. Well, then you're making a statement, and that's going to be your imprint. That's going to be your magnet. So not so good luck is just going to follow you. But if you do start to say, I do have good luck. I deserve good luck. I am open to receiving good luck, right? Or I'm open to receiving miracles in my life. Well, you start to unlock and start to untap, but you have to believe it. So many times people say, well, I'm constantly saying, and I'm walking in it, and but nothing's happening. And that can be a block. There are blocks that can occur, but the blocks can be from, if there's a shadow of a doubt deep within, that could be the block. So you go into the place of, that you perpetually have this faith and you believe, and part of the consolation prize is that perhaps you don't always get that sign, but it's a sign for yourself that you do behold the power within you and that you can yield as much as you think about, you can yield that your way. So why not yield in your light? Why not yield more of that, the precious gem of your soul. And we often can fall into the trap of magnetizing more of the dark because sometimes we're feeling in a dark place where we can't get out of until we have God or someone who, like, it comes through and says, wait. And then even then, sometimes we're like, no, we are in our own way. So look at where you're at if you're in your own way. And look at how you can be your own champion for yourself. And look at how, if you were to stay in the frequency of your highest good, your highest light, your highest embodiment of your soul, how that can be in the co-creation of you and your contribution to this world. And also, how you serve the world is how the world serves you. And much of the time, again, it is through giving that we receive. And so I hope that all of you are having a an introspective, let's say, reminder through this, that in the introspection, the reminder that you do have the power within you and that you are capable of being that vessel of light. And so think about the prospect of that you deserve to receive, and that you deserve your prayers to be answered, and that you are also the miracle. So remember to ascertain that self-affirmation and that utilize all the alignments and the energetics of the celestial under God's kingdom for the overall good of yourself and for everyone around you. And so may God prosper you and everything and everyone around you always. And I wanted to thank you all for being with me today on this June 13th, 2026 show. And I wish you all a beautiful 2 weeks ahead. And I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. And this has been your host, Ray Trujillo of the Beyond Earth Show. Thank you again. Bye.